Your Cleveland Weather Channel 3 forecast from meteorologist Holly Strano. Sunshine, nice one for you, 55. Hopefully you get a chance to get out and take a walk some point this afternoon. A few clouds overnight, 38. Showers will move in late on Wednesday in 55. It's 35 at your severe weather station.
Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Getting today's news cycle started on News Radio WTAM 1100.
All right, Tech Tuesday, News Radio WTAM 1100. Wills Ways to Say, everybody, Matt Granite. Channel 3's Morning News is in, and just in time for some that might be enjoying a spring break, you've got a tech item for us. Hi, Matt.
Yeah, oh, for those on the road documenting some very important things going on right now in the sports world, this is something that anyone can take advantage of. I call this a no-brainer bargain, one of the best tech deals you will see your entire life at an incredible price. That's not a good open. I don't know what is, right, Bill?
You've really set me up. Now, what is it?
All right. It is your key to all of the features of a GoPro. So we're talking HD video recording, something that you can mount and carry with you, something that's portable, something that's extremely well-rated, something that you can use to capture every moment from what's going on outdoors to what's going around your property, Wi-Fi HD video that fits into your pocket. It's an action cam that usually retails for about $199. The box is being repackaged for 2018. The merchant is clearing the old stock and liquidating at $29.99.
Unbelievable. Just because the box is different?
Yeah, just because the box is different. They're adding one additional CES rating to some of the new boxes. They've done really well. And the interesting thing is I actually used this camera to capture what you saw on Channel 3 News today. It was so good, it actually captured broadcast footage. And if you do want to check out the footage or the deal, or save basically $170 with free shipping, again, I test everything for months to make sure it works, WTAM.com, keyword save.
I'm all for it. So are you when it comes to savings. Good item. Check out the story and the video and all, and a couple of clicks, you'll have it. WTAM.com, keyword save. Watch Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News. Throughout the morning, tomorrow here, same time, we'll help you with your energy bill. Thanks, Matt.
Bill Wills, live in Goodyear with the Tribe. And coming up also before about 10 minutes, we'll spend some time with our buddy Nick Camino. And Mike Snyder will talk about this infield. You know, there will be times that we'll have really an all-star at every position in the infield, Mike.
Yeah, if Kipnis is coming back, sure, and with Lindor and Ramirez, and let's hope Yonder can fill that role at first base. You know, Bill, there's also a chance at times that we'll have Yan Gomes catching, Yonder Alonso at first, and possibly Yandy Diaz at third.
Leave it to you to give us that stat.
You needed something like that. You know, at 3:15 in the morning. How about this? Yandy to Yonder to Yan.
I'll run that by Rosie and Hammy, see if they're ready.
Yeah, they better be ready.
Sports mornings at 15 and 45 past. Here's Mike Snyder.
Cavaliers take on the Nets at the Q tonight. And, of course, the Cavs own the Nets' first-round pick in the upcoming draft, so it behooves them to beat Brooklyn. But Coach Lou says,
not so much worried about the pick. You know, we got to, you know, continue to get better and continue to progress, you know, until we get through April to the playoffs. So,
now, that is true. The Cavs have their own issues right now to deal with. They just need a win and to get playing right. It's a 7 o'clock tip. We'll have it for you right here. Nets were busy last night. They beat the Bulls 104-97. As of this morning, the Nets have the 7th worst record in the league. Of course, there's the lottery, the ping pong balls. You could move up. Actually, the year the Cavs got Kyrie Irving with the first overall pick, that was the year they owned the Clippers pick, which was the 6th worst record at the time. Now, the Cavs also are investigating whether they can identify the fan who racially taunted Spurs guard Patty Mills during Sunday's game. Cavs-Nets, 7 o'clock tip tonight. You can hear it right here. Indians fell to the Brewers 7-6 yesterday, but it was a good day for Josh Tomlin, who worked 2 scoreless innings. Tomlin often gets lost in the shuffle when we talk about the Tribe's starting rotation, but as Terry Francona puts it,
he doesn't walk anybody. You can't run on him. Not only can you not run on him, But there's usually three or four hitters in the lineup where you can actually play behind the runner first. You take the hole away. I don't think you can quantify how many runs we've saved, but I guarantee you we've saved runs just because of that.
Now today, a big day in Goodyear. Corey Kluber makes his spring debut. Indians will meet the A's, and of course, we'll have Total Tribe coverage with Bill Wills and Goodyear all week. I know Nick Camino will talk with Corey after he pitches today, so a big day in Goodyear for the Tribe. Browns obviously aren't raising their season ticket. They're raising their ticket prices. Oh my gosh, how could you? But in a letter to season ticket owners, GM John Dorsey praised fans for sticking with the team, pointed out his ability to assemble an experienced personnel and coaching staff to try to guide the Browns in the right direction. Of course, they've got resources with all those picks in the upcoming draft. The combine actually begins today. We'll hear from Hugh Jackson tomorrow and then Dorsey later in the week from Indianapolis. And in golf, it's looking like this will be the final year of the Bridgestone Invitational in Akron. However, there will continue to be golf, according to renowned golf writer John Feinstein in a tweet last night. He says the PGA Senior Players Championship is scheduled for Akron in 2019, and nothing official on any of this, but Bridgestone reportedly will pull out after this year. Coming up at 5:45, Rodney Hood is trying to figure out his way with the Cavs. We'll hear from him coming up in sports. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio, WTAM 1100.
One of the stories we're following for you, and we'll be talking about throughout the day, there have been rather contentious times in our relationship with Mexico, and of course with President Trump. We know all about that. Bill Zimper on the story this morning about a visit that's not going to happen. Bill, what's up?
Well, Bill, good morning. Yeah, this was a visit that the Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto was going to make to the White House as early as in March. There was a phone call between the two, we have learned, on February 20th. That was supposed to lay the groundwork for a formal invitation. The two leaders, during that phone call, talked about a series of issues when the president brought up the wall. And things got a little bit testy, according to those privy to the conversation, with a Mexican official saying the president lost his temper. President Trump lost his temper. The White House says now he merely grew a little bit frustrated about the conversation because Mexican President Peña Nieto basically told President Trump he could not support a border wall and Mexico certainly wasn't going to pay for it. President Trump reiterated that that was his campaign promise. So the two agreed to disagree, and thus the visit to the White House is called off. And believe it or not, Bill, for the second year in a row. Last year, the two had a similar conversation, and a visit to the White House was called off. So for 2 years in a row, the Mexican president has said thanks, but no thanks.
Bill, finally, this was the big thing on the campaign trail. People were repeating it back to him. You know, Mexico's going to pay for it and all. I mean, he really has to figure out how to get out of this politically, doesn't he?
Well, step number one is getting the wall built, and that is his plan right now. Step number two, having Mexico pay for it. I think at this point, Bill, most people realize that Mexico is not going to pay for this wall, and the U.S. taxpayer will end up paying for it.
Our Bill Zimper on the story. Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome, Bill.
Total Tribe coverage on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Bill Wills, our buddy Nick Camino out here from Goodyear. Let's go around the infield. Defense is so, so important. Up the middle is such a key. And Kipnis last year, we know the issues. When you have to find a place for him, I think that's a good problem.
That's a good problem to have. Yeah, that's a good problem to have. It shows you how deep you are, how talented you are. When an all-star second baseman doesn't, you don't know if he's got a position.
Who's in a Rolls Royce, by the way, when he comes in, right? I mean, seriously.
He's got a nice ride.
That's a good issue to have.
It is. And here's the thing. You pointed out the infield. Did you know that, Bill, they have an all-star at every position in the infield? Over at third base, you've got Jose Ramirez. At shortstop, you've got Lindor. Second base, you have Kipnis, who's a former All-Star. And now they brought in Yonder Alonso. He's a former All-Star. So you've got an All-Star infield, and I think that's a nice thing to have. As you pointed out, up the middle, it all starts with Lindor, and he's one of the faces of baseball.
Outfield, depending on who's healthy at the start of the year, but as traditional, we could see 15 outfielders throughout the year, right?
Yeah.
When you get to the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that Tito mentioned it the other day. So they've got 64 players here in camp, 64. He said two-thirds of the 64 were used last year. So I think there's always a lot that's put on who's going to make the opening day roster. Everybody's got March 29th in Seattle circled on their calendar. But the thing that that I think people forget is over the course of a year, you're going to use more than 25 guys.
Right.
Bill, how many times
right.
are we getting those emails? Right. Oh, they signed this guy. Oh, they brought this guy up. Exactly. So you got to just understand that the 25 guys they break camp with is not the end-all be-all.
Starting pitching, and I had to joke, Carl Willis, who has been a good friend for a long time, was in the Reds organization and, of course, was here once before, and now he's back. I'm like, so how did you turn this job down? I mean, if you want to be the pitching coach, look at the guys you have, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know you've still, you got to do what you do. Don't get me wrong. But what a starting line.
It is cool to have Carl back and to have the starters that he's going to take on with Kluber and Carrasco and Bauer and then, you know, probably Tomlin or Clevenger. Right. I mean, just to have those types of arms. And then let's look at the bullpen with Allen and Miller. I mean, you've got a lot of talent on this team. He said, you know, he doesn't want to come in and change too much of what Mickey Callaway was doing. But he can implement what he does and kind of use what's worked.
It's like your golf swing. I wouldn't change anything.
Oh, boy, Bill.
Because you can take money off Camino.
You're going to get a lot of rounds in this week,
no,
I know.
No, no.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
why I'm working hard.
Yeah, right.
Nick Camino alongside Word in Good Year with the Tribe, WTAM 1100.
This is Bill Wills. Our Sharon Reed on a news story that will continue to play out for who knows how long, the gun debate and what's happening, if anything, in Washington. Sharon, what are you picking up here last 24 hours?
Well, it's still unclear what, if anything, Congress is going to be able to do. You know, the president talked to governors yesterday, and really what overshadowed it was his comments about how he would run into the school if faced with that situation, and that seemed to kind of take all the arrow out of the rest of the debate. And meantime, you know, there's some progress that's trying to be made in the Senate on that measure that would fit the Fix NICS Act. That's the approach to improving the existing gun background checks for the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. There's some resistance, though. Mike Lee of Utah is one of them, the leading the senators, GOP senators, who don't like it. They say it could be a denial of constitutional rights without due process. So they're kind of holding any progress on that in the Senate up. Meantime, you've got some movement in Democrats in the House. As promised, Congressman Ted Deutsch of Florida, he represents the district that is the Parkland High School. He did move forward with a bill to outright ban semi-automatic assault type weapons like the AR-15 that was used on Valentine's Day. And so there is about 150 fellow Democrats supporting that in the House, but no one really thinks it's going to get much traction in these Republican-led House and Senate. And so we'll see what happens. The president, you know, telling lawmakers don't be afraid of the NRA, that he'll work with them and so forth. But it does sound like, according to CNN, he's backing down from a call last week that he made to increase the age limit to 21 for some of these types of weapons. And so, again, not really clear what, if anything, might get done.
Finally, Sharon, you mentioned the governors, and, you know, it's interesting, one thing to ask the feds, but I think all the states have to look and see what they're doing with this, in that, you know, even the national background check, I was reading the other night, I think 12 states still don't even send information to the national, to the federal level for background checks.
Well, and I think you heard the NRA spokeswoman at CPAC last week. I think she said as many as 38 states were not doing what they should on background checks. And so you're right. I think that's the big issue. And there's been a lot of support for trying to beef up the whole background check, especially after the shooting in Texas, where you had the churchgoers who were shot by someone who, if everyone had reported what they knew, might have been stopped before that. And so there is a lot of support for beefing up the background checks. But again, there was a similar bill back in December that they tried to pass on this, but they tied to it that concealed weapons across state lines, and that's what held that up. And so we'll see if a clean bill that just deals with beefing up the background checks, this Fix NICS Act, can get through. But as I say, there is even Republican opposition to it that seems to be holding up the process.
All right, Sharon Reed. Thanks, Sharon.
Have a great day.
This is Radio WTAM 1100. Bill Wills in Goodyear. Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Theater, cleveland.com, joins us. Good morning, Terry.
Hello, Mr. Wills.
I will quote you. I hate how it ended, not just the Yankees knocking out the Indians out of the first round of the playoffs, but losing three in a row. Terry, that bad taste has been in our mouth all the off season. The pressure is on managing expectations of the fans to try and finish one off this year and win that last game in postseason.
I think so. The one unfortunate thing that could happen, and I don't want it to be, is that they'll take for granted the team wins the Central Division. Yeah, but let's see what happens in the playoffs. Whereas, it's so much fun when you have a good regular season, as they proved last year or in the other times that, that's a big part of baseball for me. It's just the every day the game's coming and just watching the team grow as opposed to, wake me up in October and I'll tell you if they're any good or not.
Yeah, and even from the team's perspective, Terry, you really can't fast forward that, can you?
I don't think so at all because, you know, until that 22-game winning streak last year, they just seemed to be kind of slogging along. They're a little bit above 500 and that, and then that's when they took off. And it seemed, and then of course it caught up with them in the playoffs, but I'm anxious to see how they play. There's a lot of fun questions around the team. It was great to see Kipnis hit a home run the other day and Alonso hit a home run. But I'm very curious to see how they react.
Hey, Terry, just before I get to the next comment, I want to get a take from you on the Cavs. You're going to be out and about this Thursday. What do you got going with a book signing?
Yes, I'll be speaking at Wadsworth Library, 7 p.m. Thursday night. I know Mike will be there. In fact, Bill Wills is going to be flying back early from Goodyear just to get to Wadsworth for Thursday night, 7 p.m., because it's free. And when it's free, it's got a good chance to get Bill there.
There you go. Well, man, this morning, he might not mind that. Hey, I wanted – he's dealing with a lot of things. He's walked in. They've summoned him. The bases are loaded, and the count is 2-0 on the hitter he's got to face. What is your biggest concern for the Tribe if you had one going into the season?
You know, trying just to sort out the outfield because I'd rather have the best pitching rotation in baseball than have the best outfield and have the worst pitching rotation. You know, some people say they have among them the worst outfield in baseball. But you don't want to just waste a bunch of good pitching performances because you're not getting any sort of offense from people out in the outfield. And so I'm anxious to see how that works out. And I just think that scoring runs is going to be one of those things that they'll battle at times. It's not going to be easy for them.
Terry, a quick thought from you on the Cavs. I know you got a column today about the Cavs. They're trying to figure things out. You know, one of the things, I think you make a point, Clarkson, Nance, and Hood, they come to the Cavs almost at times maybe in a little awe of LeBron. That's got to wear off, doesn't it?
I think it does. And it's almost like if you get in a pickup game when you're younger and you're playing with a guy that's so much better and the game gets close, the temptation is really just to let him do it, you know, until you get used to playing with him. And let's face it, LeBron will give you that glare and all that. By the way, I remember talking to people who first played with Michael Jordan. Steve Kerr told me that when he was over there, that he had to get past that. Sometimes he was passing up open shots because he figured, I got Michael Jordan over there, and to a lesser extent, Scottie Pippen. So that's one thing. And the other is, the fact is, they really do miss Kevin Love when, like, San Antonio slowed them down and got him into a half-court game, where if you had Kevin Love there to go with LeBron, because last year they were 24, the previous two seasons they were 24-7 when Love and LeBron played and Kyrie did not. And this year they were, I believe it was 23-13 when Love and LeBron played and Isaiah Thomas did not. In other words, where Love was the designated second scorer, they won a ton of games.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter, Wadsworth Library, 7 o'clock Thursday night. If you don't see me, go ahead and start, but I'll try my best to get
Well, if there's nothing else, we can hook up a phone conversation for you. You can listen in.
It's old time, man. Thanks, Terry. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, he's really frustrated with the lack of whistles in his favor, and it's a little bit of the Shaquille O'Neal syndrome, the fact that they're so big at their respective position. As a small forward, there's nobody bigger probably in the league or weighing more than LeBron James. When you move him to the power forward, he's still almost as big, if not bigger than most of the power forwards in the league right now, maybe an inch shorter than, you know, a lot of them. So I don't know if he went that deep in his thinking that he's saying, I'm going to take pressure off these other guys. These guys need to produce, okay? That's why they brought him here.
Mike, you look at this team now, they're playing games every other day, so they're trying to implement things on the fly. Probably the stunning stat from Sunday was the fact that in the second half, none of the starters scored, not named LeBron James, scored in that game. Hold on one second here.
Accident reported on Steele's Corners just west of Route 8. Highway's getting heavier.
All right, hang on. Okay. Coach, no one not named LeBron scored in the second half. What do you see right now as Coach Lou tries to figure out what combinations are going to work?
I'm wondering if there's going to be finally a change in the starting lineup. I think you went with Jedi Osman as long as he could right now, last two home losses against Washington and against San Antonio. Maybe that's the opportunity for the head coach to get Hood perhaps in that starting lineup. They're waiting and trying to figure out, how do we get this guy going now? He's not as aggressive as they'd like him to have been. Therefore, maybe if you put him in that starting lineup, starting the game out, put Osman back with the second unit now, that's one of the things I might look for in tonight's game. And the other thing is, you know, continually trying to figure out, how do I substitute and get these guys? And here's the biggest problem I see. Around the league, most teams, most coaches seem to feel the Cavs are better when LeBron James is at the four position. But Kevin Love is going to return shortly. When Love returns, Tristan Thompson at the five spot, Love at the four spot, that puts LeBron back at the small forward position, where he clearly has an advantage over everybody that he goes up against. But that causes a problem with the people behind the starters, because now you have, even without Kyle Korver in that second unit group, if you're thinking Osman would be the backup guy there, Nance the backup five man, now you go to Green at the backup four spot, and your guards in the backcourt, Kyle Korver doesn't have a spot in those top, in the second unit of five guys. So this is what Teron Liu is working on to try and figure out, what are our best rotations.
Mike, as LeBron puts it even every night, that he plays every position, is there an adjustment for these young players maybe to get out of the fact of being in awe of playing with LeBron? Is that part of what's going on here too?
Here's what I saw early on. When the trade first happened, they came in, and I'll put it this way, they didn't know anything. They came in and just figured, hey, we've got a pass here for a couple games because we don't know what they're running offensively. We don't know really what they're doing defensively, their philosophy. Let's just go out and play. So when the ball came off the rim, it was like, hey, get it, pitch ahead. There's somebody open. Let's run down the floor. That guy's open. Let me pass the ball, take a shot. It was loose. It was free. There was no pressure on them. Now, the longer they stay and the more games that go by, it seems to me what's happened is they get the rebound and their first instinct is, where is LeBron? And it's almost slowing up the game for the Cavs rather than speeding it up. Whoever gets it turns and looks immediately for where LeBron is. If he's out in front, that's a good thing. But so many of the times, LeBron, trying to help on the glass, is not out in front. So as a result, they're passing the ball back rather than passing it forward. Maybe too much respect from these new guys and trying to get the ball back in the hands of LeBron James.
You know, guys, in a very strange way, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'll go ahead and try it. We almost take the regular season for granted. If you're a basketball fan, Coach, this is fascinating, as you're explaining it, to watch this team literally develop during the season then. I mean, this is, you know, obviously, let's hope they get it right, correct?
But no question about it. It's on the fly, trying to figure it out. And again, Bill, for the Cavs coaching staff, think how many times this season they've had to try to readjust what the lineup is and what the substitution pattern is. And for the players, this is how I felt when I coached. Players really get comfortable in their roles when they know, they look up at the clock and 6 minutes have gone by in the first quarter. I know the coach is coming down the bench pointing to me saying, go in and get so-and-so out of the game. They mentally are ready for that. Right now, it's kind of, how many minutes am I playing tonight? When am I going in tonight? Who am I going in for tonight? And that happened early in the year. They were waiting and waiting and waiting for Isaiah Thomas to come back. He doesn't start the first game back, but then all of a sudden, oh, he's back in the starting lineup, so we can get him going. He can get his legs back under him. This has been happening and developing, and then now six guys out, four new guys in. Once again, since the trade on the 8th of February, the guys have to figure it out on the coaching staff. Who are we playing? When are we playing them? How long are we playing them? That can be disruptive rather than trying to bring these guys together and understanding their roles. But that's not a criticism of the staff. I'm just saying, what a great job they've done in manipulating it up to this point.
Great point. Great take. We'll continue to watch it play out tonight. Nets, 7 o'clock tip-off. at the queue. Catch it on WTAM 1100. Great stuff. Coach Fratello, thanks, pal.
Appreciate it, guys.
Total Tribe coverage on News Radio WTAM 1100. Mike Snyder, I am joined by a big signing for this organization in the offseason. He's going to be at first base, right, Snyder?
Yep, Yonder Alonso. Yonder, welcome to Cleveland.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Let's talk about you and career-wise. You know, baseball's important, don't get me wrong. We linked up to your blog post about Cuba. And in life, it is amazing what we take for granted sometimes. And I just want to talk to you about that a little bit. That was moving. That's your story.
Mm-hmm.
Did it help you therapeutically? Did it help you to write those thoughts down? That was some amazing writing.
Well, I think the whole thing started when I went to Cuba. I hadn't been in Cuba for 18 years, so I finally went. Wanted to take my wife. She had never been, so I wanted to take her for a couple days. And I went with a good friend of mine and his wife as well. So we went for 4 days and got to see all my cousins, my aunt, you know, people I hadn't seen in close to 20 years. And, you know, I started just having so many memories and flashbacks of, you know, that country and how beautiful it is, but then how devastating it is, right? And, you know, how people take so many things for granted here in this country, but then yet you look at, you know, the people there, like my cousins or things like that, and they're just thankful for a pair of socks. And, yeah, I started thinking about it, and my sister and her husband, they were telling me to write something. I didn't know where to go about. I didn't know what to say. And then finally I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to write this thing. I think it's right for the message, for the people to get around. Just, you know, so many people get involved in the wrong mentality, you know, and it's just like so negative and just so like, man, come on, you know, be thankful that you have water to brush your teeth in the morning, right? Or, man, you're going to eat a pancake. I didn't eat a pancake until I got here to this country. I didn't even know what that was. Heck, I didn't even know what ketchup was, right? So I said, you know, I got to give a message out to these kids or people, whoever reads this, that there's a lot of sacrifice and a lot of obviously things that are going on over there. But, you know, once you get to this country, things can open up for you. Opportunities can come and the doors can open. So you obviously need to realize that it's going to take sacrifice, but understand at the end of the tunnel, there's always a light.
Mike?
Yonder, what a bond all of the natives of Cuba must have. I know Dan Otero, a teammate here. What a bond for all of you. And I'm sure you probably share different stories in terms of each family's growing up, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think everybody has their own story. Everybody has their own ways. You know, I tell people all the time, I haven't walked in nobody's shoes a mile or something like that. So I make sure to tell people that, and I make sure to understand that everybody has their own stories, everybody has their own sacrifices in life. But, you know, I know that my sacrifice I was able to share with a lot of people, and, you know, maybe I can write another one pretty soon here.
Yonder, on the field, you're coming off a heck of a season, 28 home runs and a couple of tough ballparks in Oakland and Seattle. What do you credit the upswing in your power last year?
Well, I think it just starts with my legs. It starts with my lower half. And let me back up a little bit. Yeah. Obviously, the lower half is important, but, you know, the mentality of it as well needed to change. And I was so okay with just, you know, getting on base or just hitting a base hit up the middle or something like that. But, you know, I just finally felt like I got sick of it. You know, I got really, really sick of it. Had a really down year a couple years ago, and I said, all right, well, you know, I need to make a change here. If I don't make a change here, if I don't adjust here, the game is clearly adjusting to me. If I don't adjust here, then, you know, things aren't looking so good for me. So I put in a lot of work, you know, kind of like towards the end of that year in September. Right. And started, you know, really researching a lot of hitters, started asking a lot of questions, started asking why things were happening to these guys. Why things didn't happen to these guys, you know, why they could stay so consistent throughout the year, from diet to sleep to training to what you do in the cage to how's your BP, what do you see in pitchers, how do you work video, what do you see in video work when you watch pitchers. Like, I mean, I'm talking about everything, hours and hours and hours. So I had to basically redo my whole swing, and that's basically how it happened. You know, a lot of work with a lot of guys. I know I worked with Manny Machado, who really, really helped me with that. And Mike Tozar was another guy. He was the hitting coach down in Miami that that helped me as well. And Danny Valencia was one of the other guys that helped me, who has a big leg kick. So as you can see, both of those guys had leg kicks, and both of those guys really helped me with my swing. I know they were both right-handers, but they definitely were a big part of my swing and what I had to change.
Yonder Alonso with us for another minute. You know, baseball is a business. Some people are traded. You were a free agent. You were signed. That means we want you here big time. What's Terry and the organization talking to you about something?
They've been great, man, since day one. You know, they've opened their arms, their doors. It's been incredible. You know, I just want to do my part. I'm not here to obviously step on anybody's shoes, but I understand when it's 7 o'clock, like I told Terry on the phone before I signed, when it's 7 o'clock, man, get out of the way because I'm coming, you know, and that's just what I'm going to do. I'm going to play hard. I'm going to bust my butt and do my part. You know, I'm not here to, what they say, substitute another guy that was here. I'm here to do Yonder Alonso. I'm here to do me. I'm here to do everything that's part of this team and what is needed of this team. I'm a different guy, a different animal. So for me, it's just to help out the guys as much as possible, lead by example. Not really so much of a vocal type of guy or anything like that, but you know, show up, get ready to play, prepare, and make sure that you're ready to bust it, you know, come 7 o'clock.
You say you're not vocal. You say a lot, and you've written a lot with the blog. We want you to check it out at wilsoncenter.com, letter of my younger self. We look forward to a great season. Just fantastic getting to know you a little bit better in the 5 minutes here, and we wish you nothing but the best. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Welcome. Good luck.
Thank you.
Complete Cavaliers coverage on News Radio WTAM 1100. And Cavs legend Jim Jones joins us this morning. Our morning Cavs update brought to you by Levin Furniture, the preferred home furniture and mattress supplier to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Bill Wills in Goodyear, Arizona. Mike Snyder, Jim Jones. Jim, good morning to you, pal.
Morning, Bill.
We've got the Nets tonight at the Q, 7 o'clock tip-off. Jim, other teams seem to be making adjustments. Let's go back to San Antonio. What did you generally pick up from what you saw the Cavs do?
Well, for the second home game with the new crew, Bill, we really struggled when they went small ball. And we had figured that was going to be our advantage because we could pick up the pace. But so far, in the last two home games in particular, when the Washington game, the Wizards game, and also the Spurs game, they went three guards out front, and it really gave us an issue. So it's just the minor adjustments that we're going to have to make. Maybe we add maybe just another smaller player, or else we do a better job in matchups. But that seems to be the only thing that I thought went wrong. I thought Nance gave us a huge lift, showed tremendous amount of versatility in being able to defensive rebound and push the ball up the floor. You know, it's not really a fast break until you get all five players running. I'm quoting Tommy Heinsohn. He said that's what made Bill Russell so great, is that once he got the defensive rebound, he'd give it to a guard or he'd push it up the floor himself. And what an unbelievable advantage when Nance was in there the other night.
Jim, one of the things you talked about after the game against San Antonio, though, for the young guys is that they need to kind of get over the fact of, hey, my gosh, I'm playing with LeBron James now. It was like when they got here, they had no time to think about it. Then it was the All-Star break, and it's like, hey, wow, I'm playing with LeBron. But there is something to that, isn't there?
It is, man, because I find myself during the middle of a commentary, I'll just be watching the game rather than analyzing it because LeBron does so many fantastic things. And, you know, it's funny because they were almost better when they didn't know anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Against two exceptional teams, Bill and Mike. So I just think, you know, you got to get them up to par, but you can't force feed them. And you got to understand that being creative and having an open mind and playing on instincts is just as important, I think more important than knowing plays. And so they're a half a step behind where before those first two games, oh man, Oklahoma and Boston Celtics, they were just playing wide open.
And Jim, as Coach Lou tries to figure things out, he needs to get to know his players. Certainly, he's got to be looking at a number of things. A stunning stat in the second half the other night was the fact that no one named LeBron of the starters scored a point in the second half, Jim. That's crazy.
It is. Yeah, we got to do a better job of getting people involved. And I'm not so much, Bill, that you have to keep adding more plays. I just think, you know, like LeBron was saying, it's a high dribble screen league, a pick and roll league. You either run motion, you know, or else you run what we call read and react, you know. But, you know, and the dribble, I'm sorry, the dribble drive and read and react. And what that is, guys, the read and react is nothing more than a motion offense, which usually gives you the shot from the wing, the 3-point shot from the winger. But dribble dish is more designed to give you that shot in the corner. And that's what we have to do. If we just keep it simple, I mean, this isn't rocket science. I mean, you can make this game too difficult.
Well said, Jim Jones. Tonight, Brooklyn in town, 7 o'clock tip-off. Catch it here on News Radio, WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers. Thanks, Jim.
You're welcome, guys.
Mike Snyder back there. Carter, good to see you, pal. First of all, good morning.
Great to see you as well. Good morning to you.
Let me throw a couple things at you. This complex, which when a fan comes out here, you get over to the ballpark, you enjoy. Maybe you walk over to the complex. There has been an amazing reinvestment in this complex. I want to talk about that some because, especially in your role and attracting players, this is a big selling point nowadays. Talk about what the Indians have done out here in the last 6 months, literally, right?
Yeah, it's been an amazing turnaround. Yeah, we finished up spring training last year, and then a team of our guys on the business side and along with some great construction people were able to basically do a several million dollar renovation in a very short time period. But basically, we try to get our players out here as much as we possibly can. We feel like there's so many opportunities for guys to make adjustments, to get stronger, to get more flexible, to get more mobile, to make fundamental adjustments. It's so hard to do that during the season.
Right.
We certainly try to do that during the season, but we understand that this is the best place, the best time to do it when we get guys out here in the months of November, December, January, February. We just didn't have enough space, which is amazing. We moved into this complex in 2009. Thinking it was, you know, the new Taj Mahal, and it was great from a facility standpoint. We just did not have enough space, and so that was the main crux of this addition. And it's been really, really great. And hopefully, you know, guys are getting used to the new spots and the new flow, and we're excited about having it.
Mike Snyder, I walked back earlier and got a cup of coffee in the dining area, which is triple, I think, what the size was before.
Yeah.
And there's talk also, I know, some more investment around possible dorms or some facility where, you know, you got your players where everybody can be at the same place. So really, Mike Snyder, I think it's serving what the Indians envisioned when indeed they moved out here, and the great late Bob Feller was on the backhoe when they broke ground on this facility, Mike.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. And Carter, also the proximity with all the other teams, like even during this time of year, you're close enough where guys can actually do work in the morning. It's not like they've got a 3-hour bus commute one way, do they?
Right. Yeah, that's a major upside from Florida. Yeah, obviously the weather is maybe the best part. You know, it just doesn't rain here very much. Obviously, it's going to rain today now that I say that. But it's absolutely just a really, really wonderful developmental environment for our guys out here.
Hey, Carter, a couple of guys that had big days yesterday. Just wanted to get your thoughts or give us a little more insight on, you know, some young prospects. We're always looking for the next wave. And in Francisco Mejia and Bobby Bradley, I know, has really raised some eyebrows. He's lost, I guess, a good bit of weight and really is fit and ready to go. Tell us a little bit about both of those kids.
Yeah, so Francisco obviously is our number one prospect externally. If you look at Baseball America and other, you know, ranking publications like that, and absolutely has a great feel to hit. We saw him a little bit towards the end of last year in September. He came up to the big leagues. He's got a really, really good arm behind the plate. He's a switch hitter offensively, and obviously saw a little bit of the power yesterday. But he's just got one of those natural feels for the barrel, and our guys, you know, really feel like he's a guy that can impact us at the major league level offensively, and we're just continually trying to get him into a spot defensively where, you know, he can run a pitching staff, call a game, you know, those little things that really come into play at the catcher position, and he's making some good progress. On Bobby Bradley, just a pure power hitter. He wasn't out of shape necessarily, but, you know, where he was body-wise last year and the years before that, it just didn't really allow him to move around in the way that we would want him to move around defensively. And then, you know, just to be able to post day in and day out offensively and maintain, you know, your swing and maintain your stamina over the course of the year. So we talked to him a little bit about that, and he took it to heart, and I'd lost, I think, 15, 20 pounds, maintained his muscle. He's swinging the bat great this spring. He clearly hasn't lost any of his power. He looks better around the bag at first base. And like you said, it's definitely raised some eyebrows here in a good year this year.
Carter Hawkins alongside your Indians general manager. This team's going to pick up and move over to Vegas for a couple of games this spring. And also mid-April, Puerto Rico. I think a couple of interesting trips. Talk about Puerto Rico some, because that's, in a way, it's also outreach for the league and this franchise, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, obviously it was prior to, you know, to all the issues in Puerto Rico there last year. But right. I think now that that's happened, it's even more important just to show our support for the island. We obviously have so many Puerto Rican players in our organization, obviously with Lindor and Roberto Perez and others at the major league level, Sandy Alomar. I mean, it's just a huge impact. And all of those guys had family members that were directly impacted by the storm. So glad that the organizations and the Twins as well are going to be able to go over there and,
well said,
you know, show some support to, you know, to the people of Puerto Rico and give them something maybe to distract them from the fact that, you know, there's still people that don't have power there, which is just crazy.
We are scheduled to talk to Josh Tomlin momentarily. He got some work in yesterday. I wrote the word down, control. So much of baseball is out of control. It's situational, things like that. But a guy like Tomlin, when you know you need that, how many times you in the stand? Boy, I need a little ground ball here. Get a little ground ball. And he's that kind of pitcher that can deliver that, isn't he?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's not by luck. It's by hard work and consistency. And, you know, that's the one guy that out of all of our guys that no one ever worries about. You know, we know what he's going to be bringing to us every year because we know how hard he's going to be working every year. And his routines are as good as they can possibly be.
Carter, finally, and Mike Snyder, I want to get Carter out here on this point. Our mutual friend Jensen Lewis, I'm still trying to understand how huge his career was at Vanderbilt. I don't even know that I've ever confirmed he was at Vanderbilt. You have ties to the university as a Commodore. Did you ever see him there? Is he known at all?
I can confirm that he actually was there, and I'm sure Jensen is listening, and if he is, I love talking about him on there. I would say whatever he said, just divide that by 10, and you're probably about right. Obviously,
sounds like his golf score normally. Yeah.
That being said, though, the guy was a major league pitcher, and I'm sitting here wearing collared shirts talking about baseball, so we'll give him that.
Carter, you're the best. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Carter.
So much. Carter Hawkins alongside Assistant General Manager for Cleveland. And it is Total Tribe coverage. Bill Wills in Goodyear and Mike Snyder alongside one of our favorite guys every year to connect with is Josh Tomlin. Got a little work in, and good to see you, pal. Good morning, first of all.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. Let me get down the way first. I think Terry Francona talked about the bad taste in all of our mouths, player, fans, whatever. After last year, two scoreless innings though for you out of that bullpen. I don't want to go without saying that was some pretty good pitching last year.
I appreciate that.
Seriously,
yeah, I think he's right about the bad taste. You know, coming from a tough game 7 and 16, and then the first round you're out. Didn't really go how you wanted to go, but that's why there's always next year. There's always time to kind of reflect on in the offseason and put it past you and do what you can to get better.
Josh, for you, when you get into this time of year, what are you trying to accomplish? It's always good to throw a couple of scoreless innings, but what are you really trying to accomplish right now?
For me, it's filling the strike zone up. Figuring out where the plate is, outside part of the plate, inside part of the plate, judging from a hitter's perspective, kind of where your stuff's at this point in spring. But for the most part, it's attacking the zone, trying to figure out the zone as quick as you can with all four pitches, especially for me being a contact guy. I need to be on the zone or on the plate as much as I can and then go from there and expand off of that.
Well, you are on the plate. There's no question about that. You know, Josh, as Bill mentioned, come back to a season. You guys, Tito used the word, come back with a vengeance. But it is, he also is a manager that all keeps you guys really in the moment, doesn't he?
Oh, no doubt about it. You know, we talked about last year, even during that streak, is I don't think people really understood what we were doing at the time just because we were so in the moment. So, we're always taught and after that night's over with, forget about today and worry about tomorrow. And that's the only thing you control. And that we do a pretty good job of that as a team. And that starts from the top with Chris, Cherney, and especially Tito. Tito preaches that from day one. And I feel like that's the big reason why we have such success here now.
Carl Willis back in the organization, a guy that you obviously been familiar with over the years. Good to see a guy like him, right?
It is. It is good to see him. Worked with him a little bit, and I think it was 14 or 15 when I was rehabbing and before he got the job at Boston. But heard nothing but good things about him, and my time with him might have been short, but it was impactful, and we're looking forward to getting working with him.
Atchison, back in the bullpen, had to laugh. He's also with us this week. I mean, I said to him, you got less gray now than when you played. And in a way, it's interesting. I know it's not you're on the bullpen, but, I mean, just to have a guy down there who threw against a lot of guys that these guys still see. You know, they're kind of unique, right?
It is unique. Atchison's he's a good fit for that bullpen. Yeah. He's played with a lot of those guys, and like you said, he's faced a lot of the guys that these guys are still seeing. So, you know, he's going to be a good addition down there. For those guys, and that doesn't take away from what he knows pitching wise and what he knows for being a good pitching coach, and he's earned that right to be down there, and I think they're looking forward to it.
Josh Tomlin, off season came too quick for all of us, as we know well. No, you told me off the air, just tried to relax. Although building a house, I don't know if you can relax much. Right. You guys got a lot on your plate though, right?
Oh yeah, trying to build a house in my hometown, in Tyler, Texas, and. Yeah. You know, it's a slow process, but it's a process nonetheless. And my wife's doing a bunch of stuff on it, trying to figure out the colors and all this. And she always brings these ideas to me. And I look, honey, I don't have a clue what look you're kind of go for. So you do what you have to do. And I'll tell you what, I'll move into it and enjoy it when it gets done.
How far along are we? Is there a foundation? Are the walls up?
There's a foundation. The bottom story, the walls are up. And the frame's going up on the upstairs. So, it's still got a ways to go. I think the builder told me it'd probably be ready mid-November, and I said, "Great, that'll be about time we win a World Series. When I get home, I can move in."
There you go. That. Just keep pitching, Josh. Let the builders do all that. Let your wife figure it out, right?
That's right. I thought I think he said we'll try to get done in September, October. I said, "Well, I'm not going to be home until mid-November at the least." So
I like that. Did he tell you might be over budget too?
Maybe. That's another reason why I got to win the World Series.
Josh Tomlin alongside from Goodyear. Man, thanks for your time. I appreciate it a great deal. You're a pro's pro.
I appreciate you having me. Thanks all.